We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
I get food poisoning everywhere I go. Like I get traveler's sickness.
Mm.
And so when I was in El Salvador, I was sitting on the toilet holding the garbage can.
And
I had told Carlos to get my mom.
Teared up.
When
is that
throw
the first
up,
time you met?
Yeah.
You got food poisoning and like had that experience the first time you met?
Every time I travel.
Oh my gosh.
Not within the United States, but like when I travel outside
of the United
States. I
truly am blessed. I think I'm truly blessed because the more I talk to people and hear about the things that they go through and...
Oh yeah.
I can just... Like, we go to sushi with people, and they're like, oh, yeah, we got the human dumpster, so I can order everything I'm not going to eat, and he'll just put it away.
Yeah, and can I be honest? It's a little bit annoying. Like, you're a little bit annoying.
We came off that, like 41-day fast where we did, like, the 17 of only water and then the last four of only water. The 17, I came off
liquid
that.
Liquid only, you mean?
Everybody's...
The second half.
We did 17 water only. And then we switched to like her doing liquid and me doing vegetables, which I would have been better off not eating at all. And then the last four, we did water only again.
Mm-hmm.
But after the 17, you know, like everybody brought their worldly wisdom to it. Like, oh, you need to come off of that with bone broth and this and that because your system's going to go into shock and you'll die. If you eat food.
I didn't think you were going to die, but I thought you'd get the trots.
Mine's not worldly wisdom. Mine's based off of science.
Well, it wasn't just you. It was like a lot of people.
And actual facts.
A lot of people were like, you can't do that, you know. What did I do? I like came off of it and ate like Taco Bell or something.
He got a Quick Trip pizza. You had a Quick Trip pizza.
Is that what I did?
And you know what I thought?
Quick Trip is a gas station.
Yeah.
Convenience store.
And he had a gas station pizza the day he gets off of his 41-day fast.
They were out of sushi.
Well, I'm talking about the 17. Like, what did I do?
You didn't.
I filled like a big bowl of salad or something.
Because you didn't go rogue after the 17.
No, I didn't.
We immediately went to like the partial liquid and vegetables. Yeah. But when you got off
you
the
made
full
like
one.
But I still ate like a big gob of lettuce.
Yeah, you did because you made that like Green Goddess salad dressing.
Oh yeah, that was awful.
With nooch, as they call it, nutritional yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I put the yeast in there.
Though. Oh, you should have because it gives it like a cheesy flavor.
Whatever I ate was trash.
Yeah.
And I make it for you.
Immediately thought, Lord, is this punishment? Did I quit too early?
Do you want to know what's weird with Joe's body though? Is when
not
he,
really. I'm just kidding.
When he fasts, he craves spice, like none other. Spice and sour. I always like if I didn't know if I didn't live with him and I just had to make a snap judgment of if he's fasting or not. I could easily tell by looking around because if he has piles of jalapenos and black olives and pickles and tomato juice, like just on the counters. I'm like, okay, this guy's fasting right now. Mm-hmm. Things I've learned and learning, because I was an absolute mess today, I want to be honest, is number one, like make sure that you don't let it just become a diet. Like make sure that you don't let it just become focused on whatever you're not having at the moment. Because if you don't have like an adequate amount of the word and you just talking to Jesus, and then when you read the word, I have it too, where all of a sudden it's like, wah, 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 and I'm like, what is this saying? And then I get frustrated.
Yeah.
And then more self-condemnation comes of how come I cannot understand this scripture? And I start crying out to God and I'm like, Lord, can you help? Throw me a bone. Like, help me out.
You're never supposed to just read the word when you're fasting. You're supposed to meditate on it. And the word that they use for meditate is the same word you would use when, like, a lion gets its share of the kill and another animal comes close. They pull it in and they growl and they protect it.
Do you know what that makes me feel? If you're supposed to meditate and chew on it, because meditate's also like chewing on it.
It's like having a bone.
Is like, I wonder if I should go through like the fast that we're coming up on, where I only read like a little bit, but I read it over and over and
that's
over.
That's what I'm getting at. You should be doing that anyway.
Because I just read,
that's how you're
I just read books. Like I just, I just go.
So like what he did with the first, the Ephesians... Ephesians 5
mm-hmm.
and like three just 10. Like read those four verses and then you sit and you dissect it and not to an unhealthy level, okay, because some people get a little weird,
and that,
and to not take it out of context, it's not like a daily devotional per se, but it's like I'm gonna take a chunk and I am going to, it's like a jawbreaker, I'm gonna work on this for a while. And, or like if you've ever given your dog like a pig's ear and they're like working on it and they're like, I'm going to work on this side for a while and I'm going to flip it around.
You've been Plutoing the word. We give them a pig's ear. It's gone in like 2 seconds.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The thing that I don't like is that a lot of these things lately, they feel topical. And I hate that.
Like surface level?
Yes. Yeah. It fake and super like superficial. And even our conversations with people. Like, I'm so done with just doing, like, the,
How you doing?
Like,
I heard you bought a house.
There's so much, like, superficial stuff that's occurring where it's, like, the Lord wants us to be very, you know, he wants us to be deep.
A lot of people are feeling that way, though. Like, I was just listening to, there's a couple that they do, like, vlogs and, stuff like that on YouTube, and they're not like overtly, they're not like a ministry team, they're just a family, like and I've followed them since before they had kids and now they have two. It's like a whole thing, but the husband said the same thing. He's like, I am done with having small talk. I don't care. I want to have an actual conversation with people, because far too often people are relying on that to just skate through a social interaction. And they don't actually, you don't actually get to know that person. Or, you know, he's like, I don't want to invest in that. I want depth in my relationships.
When I was completely given to alcohol, I entertained. You know how it was. Espen and I would be in a room and we'd consume the room. And we would actually take over and kind of run the room. And the hard part about that was me, for sure, probably both of us went home and felt completely alone. Like we didn't connect with anybody.
Right. Because it was like a, you were like the court jester.
Entertainment. You know, and then you're constantly medicating after that. And sometimes we medicate with food. Sometimes we medicate with drugs or alcohol. Other times we medicate with self-pity. I mean, it is so crazy to me to see some of the things that people allow. Like, I'm OCD. Like, that's medicating. Giving yourself a title to allow you to perform a certain way out of anxiety, that's medicating. You know?
Well, how often have we, I mean, Heidi, you and I have both done this before, and probably everybody has, like Carlos and I have, where you're in a social engagement or like a church function or whatever, and then you get home and like you put on your buffet pants and you're like, I'm gonna eat now, and you put on your comfort show and like you treat yourself because you made it through the thing.
Imagine going there with me.
I can,
poor thing.
I can imagine.
Because like
I can only imagine.
I can tell you so many times where pastor would like flip the lights on and off in the sanctuary and give me a look and be like, "You're locking it up, Joe," because I would just be fellowshipping people right up until like, you know.
Do you want to know what the good thing about that is?
Yeah.
Is that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So the one thing that you really got down is consistency. Like you are, you've been like that then, you're like that now. Like
this
you're
is
consistent.
The thing, is when you're in the presence of God, in the fire of God, in the fellowship, you can't put that out.
Can I just say, personality differences play a part. And like that, like Joe gets, like he feeds off that too. Like
he does.
It's an important thing to him.
And it feeds the fire of God in me though.
Right. I will say, if you don't feel that way, I mean, God didn't make everybody...
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings. Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at
personality identical. And so like in full transparency, the worship night, like you guys know a lot more people that listen, like know them
mm-hmm.
than I do. And I'm just sort of meeting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was a moment where I went and sat by myself because mm-hmm. it's like, I need to collect myself for mm-hmm. a second. Whereas like, you can engage with somebody and like stick it out. And I'm like, okay, at a certain point I get drained a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to overcome that necessarily, but.
Well, for me for 2024, I need to learn how to like talk to people because when he's like in his mode, I will literally like rummage through my purse because I don't know how to go up and talk
to
people.
Do you know what's funny? Is there have been times where I'm trying to talk to people and you're with me.
Yeah.
And you're digging through your purse.
Yeah, literally. That's and like, if you see me rummaging through my purse, it means I have zero clue what to say.
You just and gave your
hold
tell.
Hold on.
100%.
She's like picking out a hangnail that ain't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the good thing about me is I suck at small talk. So me wanting to go deeper with people and stop being superficial, that's going to be real easy with me because I seriously suck at small talk. Like, don't try to sit and talk to me not talk to me because it's not
like
going to happen.
An out-of-body experience.
Right.
And you know this.
Like a switch happens with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I throw my head back and laugh.
You become Joe.
I become Joe a little bit.
Yeah.
But I also pull away from like the drive-thru window. Like, what did I just say to him?
Yeah. So so another thing, so the fasting and you know,
yeah,
what another thing that I've learned is to not be comparative, because what one person experiences during their fast could be completely different than what you experience during your fast.
Mm-hmm.
And don't compare those. Because God, you are very, there's only one of you. Like,
very, very
you're
specific.
Very specific. And what the issues that you have, your history, your future, your present, your personality, like all of these things are very specific to what God is going to need to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Your personality housed in the same body as God's Holy Spirit is very, very specific to the call in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you compare, we talked about this in an episode about the comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah,
it's a joy killer.
Yeah,
it's a devil appointed assassin for your joy.
Yeah,
I just sent Heidi something. Comparison will make you either feel superior or inferior, and neither honors God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Comparison will make you feel either superior or inferior, and neither honors God.
No. No, he made you to be you. Like, you are right where you're supposed to be at this point in time. And you can't focus on decisions you did or didn't make in the past, mm-hmm. because that's not going to change where you are in the present.
Yeah.
You can be cognitive of them to make sure you don't fall into that trap again. So you can have kind of an inventory of things you don't want to relive. Mm-hmm. But going forward, you have to just set goals and get vision. And like, what is your vision? Is it the end of your nose, like today? Or is it 100-year vision? If you don't have the capacity to yet think on 100-year vision or on that scale, then ask God to give you things that you can get through in a week, mm-hmm. you know, and just start chipping away at that. You start hitting that stump in the same, that log of wood in that same spot until it splits.
Yeah. It is a task and an exercise to come out of hopelessness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have to practice it. Mm-hmm. And you do that by setting a goal and then achieving it.
Yeah.
And then setting a bigger goal and achieving that goal.
Yeah.
When you start to like digest in the word a little bit, mm-hmm. and you start to really focus on like 5 or 10 scriptures, right, and let God speak to you
instead of the entire book of Matthew.
Yeah. And then you find yourself
in 5 days
in a social setting and somebody says something, it'll trigger and be like, that's how you start that deep conversation. Like, oh, I just read this in Matthew and this is what it meant to me. What's your thoughts on this?
Okay, so that's actually happened to me with Job, because I'm doing the Bible recap. Yeah. And I've talked about Job so much to people that I've never talked about Job this much ever. Mm-hmm. But it's because the scriptures are actually like coming alive to me a little bit. And like even tonight, I was like going to, when you were talking about the verse that you started off at the very beginning.
In Ephesians.
And like our thoughts on it, there was talk about where you were talking about like staying away from evil or something like that. Darkness. It was talking about darkness. And Job 28:28 says, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So what is wisdom?
The fear of the Lord.
And mm-hmm. to shun evil is understanding. So if you want wisdom, fear the Lord. And if you want understanding, shun from evil. And like that, it's been these little verses in Job where like in conversations constantly, yeah. I'm like, oh, that reminds me of what just happened in Job. That reminds me of what happened. But yeah, the self, like the reason I say not to be comparative, and it's easier to say than done, right?
Easier said than done.
And you just have to push through, though. So I'm a very comparative person at nature. And I guess I didn't even realize it until, and see, I think that's also what's helping, is because these fastings, they also could be bringing issues out with yourself that God needs you to correct so that you can actually come in line with the spiritual things that he needs you to do in the future, mm-hmm. right? Because he can't have you where he needs you if you still have a whole bunch of baggage that you actually haven't dealt with yet.
Yeah.
And for me, me personally, my fasting experiences have been a lot of areas of weakness that has been shown to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so obviously if every fast I get struggled with self-hatred, then that means that I still have an issue of self-worth.
Yeah.
Okay. So God is going to deliver me of whatever is going on and bring that self-worth back to me, so that I can understand that I am worthy and that I am worth it and that I'm all these things. Right. And is it ever going to make me stop fasting? No. In fact, when I have such struggles fasting, I fast a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I fasted so much last year. Like, yeah. I fast at least once a quarter, and mm-hmm. it's for multiple days. It's never like a onesie twosies.
Right.
And then we did the 40 day. So mm-hmm. I probably fasted like probably 60 days last year total. And every time, it's been same situation where like I am broken when I fast, because I just get like attacked. And so I was like, And then I hear people having amazing fasting experiences where Jesus showed up in their dream. And then I immediately go to, what the heck is wrong with me where Jesus is not showing up in my dreams when I'm fasting? And then I go into that comparative state. And so is all of these things going to make me stop fasting? Nope. In fact, it's just showing me that God still has areas of me that needs to be worked on. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm probably going to, I'm not going to say increase my fasting because... Like,
well, you're kind of like developing your fasting and enhancing it.
I'm never going to stop, though.
Right.
Like, I will not stop until I feel like God is working.
This is what the Holy Spirit just said to me. If Jesus starts appearing to you in your dreams, you'll probably find comfort in that and mm-hmm. seek that. You'll fast all the time for that.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself less and less seeking him at the altar.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself less and less seeking him in the secret place.
Yeah. And so that taps on the next thing. So the next thing is you think that you want all of these things, but when you get them,
what are you going to do?
Do you really want them?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with them?
Yeah, you got to steward it.
And yeah, those, then you're responsible.
Exactly. So those thoughts come to me too, where I think what the Lord wants during these fasting times is for us to just get comfortable in the unknown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, just get comfortable with not knowing what this fast is going to bring, not knowing what this day is going to bring or how you're feeling, and just be comfortable in his presence.
Yeah.
And the way that you get into his presence is by being with him during that fast. So mm-hmm. engaging, you know, chewing, meditating on that word, listening to worship songs and having like a worship to him.
It's important because then when you know the nature of God to that degree, mm-hmm. you can easily identify people that are off the word
mm-hmm.
and they're not that close with him.
Yeah.
Because it becomes abundantly clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our discernment gets turned up when we fast.
Mm-hmm.
One funny thing is, like, I've had multiple people over the years say things to me like, yeah, I know I still smoke, or yeah, I know I still socially drink, or yeah, but God hasn't dealt with me on that yet. And my thought process always goes to fasting. Like, have you tried to give it up for him for 8 days, 10 days, 12 days?
Yeah.
Because when we give up food, what's the first thing that happened? Like, my mom calls me out of the blue and is like, hey, can you host and cook everything for Dad's birthday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, of course I can. And she starts giving me this idea of menu. And I'm like, all right, so let's put together who's coming, because I don't want to overcook food because we're in a fast right now. Oh, really? I forgot. I'm like, no, it's okay.
Because I don't think people, if they don't want to be a stumbling block.
Yeah, they don't want to be a stumbling block. I'm like, no, it's okay. We've done this before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's also what we have to be prepared for. Because if you do give something up, guaranteed, there is going to be some sort of opportunity to be tempted or fall.
Well, it identifies sin because, and I am dealing with this, the Lord is dealing with me all the time on this.
Me too.
Literally. And anything that you can't lay on the altar for him is a sin.
Come on.
It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. So we get into this discussion all the time, like, well, is pot wrong? And, you know, is drinking wrong if you're only going to have one or two?
Yeah.
And is watching TV really that bad? If you can't lay it on the altar,
mm-hmm. yeah,
then yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Like, if you can't give it up.
If you can't give it up, then yes.
Yeah.
You know, that even goes to control.
Literally.
If you can't give up control, that's an issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it could be, it's not just food.
No.
Like, it could be gossip. So many things.
It could be complaining.
Yeah.
It can be, you know.
You know, there's a guy.
Self-pity.
His name's Michael. He's been on Sid Roth a lot. Oh, what's his last name? He's written many books.
Davidson. Johnson.
Michael Brown? Dr. Michael
Brown.
Yes. Michael Brown.
I was going to get there.
He wrote a book on food. And he was saying in this book that one time, because he struggled with weight and he struggled with food, and he needed deliverance from it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a gas station and he bought a Snickers, and he got into the car and he was about to eat it. And all of a sudden the thought came to him, are you telling me that you if you can never eat a Snickers again, like that's going to affect your relationship with God? Like you can't even let go of a Snickers bar? Like you banned from Snickers bars forever, but you're going to have glory with Jesus. And it was like, this Snickers bar is what's going to keep me from going further. Like, I think a lot of the times we also have to just like get perspective. Like, this is like, think about what you're holding on to. And is that worth your everlasting life?
Literally, yeah. You remember when I gave my Jordans away?
Yes.
Oh. Like, God dealt with me.
Is that why you're not wearing shoes?
Is that why you are barefoot all the time?
No. Like, there was a while where, like, that was my goal, was to collect Jordans. Oh, yeah. And like, man, we had gotten a tax return. Do you remember that, when we used to get tax returns? Oh.
What did we used to get? It started to become a God for you, though.
But we, yeah, we, so.
Not getting tax
we
returns.
We had gotten this good.
The shoes.
Tax return. And I went to the cities. I think you were with, weren't you? When I bought those white
I'm still
flights.
Thinking about what it would be like to get a tax return.
Yeah. So we went to the cities and I got this pair of shoes, and they're like, they were like $500 or something crazy. Oh, and is, but they were crazy. Only going up in value, right? Mm-hmm. And I wore these things and I kept them clean, and I had a few different pairs. And we were at church, and this guy came in, and his toes were hanging out of his shoes. And, like, God was already dealing with me on, like, idolatry and these things that were meant so much or whatever. And I felt like God was telling me, like, give up those shoes to this guy. Give them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, like, probably not even the same size feet. Because his feet looked bigger than mine.
Like, God's going to call you to give away shoes to a guy whose feet don't match.
Right, right? So I walk up to him, I'm like, hey, what size shoe do you wear? And he tells me, and it's like the same size. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, hey, I got a few pairs of shoes that I got to give to you. And he's like, oh, okay. Next Sunday, I bring all the shoes in. I clean them. They're all ready. Hand off this pair of shoes to this guy. The following Sunday, he walks in, and it looked like he had been walking around kicking curbs and kicking cats and walking in cow poop and, like,
oh yeah,
you name it, man.
You let that gift go, though.
And I immediately was like, oh my God, this guy's got no respect for me giving him this gift. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he was like, did you give those to him or me?
Yep.
And since when can you control the gift after it leaves your hand? And he was actually teaching me about tithing and having a posture where I understand that anybody that touches that money that leaves my hand after I'm obedient is now accountable to him. I just need to be obedient, right? He'll get things to where it needs to go. But he was showing me, like, you can't control what somebody else does with the gift. God put in you when he, God didn't just like speak you into existence. It says that he knit you together intricately in your mother's womb. That's hands on. You can't knit without touching it. You grab the needles and you go to town and you got a spool of thread.
Yeah.
He said, I intricately knit you together before, while you were in your mother's womb. I knew you before then, right? So he put you together. He put gifts in you. The gift and the calling are without repentance. They're not revocable. God never takes them back. But we can change how we use them, the anointing they're under. We can do it for self-gratification. We can do it for others, or we can do it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So... when he gives us a gift, he doesn't control what we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't control how we use it. I gave that man a gift of shoes.
Yeah.
The following Sunday, he walks in those gray shoes with the toes hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up and I said, hey, what happened to those shoes I gave you? You're wearing your old ones. He goes, those were too tight for my feet. He goes, these have more room.
Mm.
He made a conscious decision to wear shoes that didn't protect his feet. His toes hung out in the slush.
Yeah.
Because it gave him comfort and more room.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And, like, I mean,
Well, and then you understood the worth and he didn't.
Yeah. Right. You know what's interesting when you were talking about the guy with the Snickers bar? I had this thought, like, if the offering plate were to pass, can you put it in? Mm. Can you put in the Snickers? Mm-hmm. Can you put in your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine the guy?
Your phone, right? Of all things?
So just at work this week. So I have a job where I write documents, okay? Mm-hmm. And so for part of our work this week, it's like basically telling us, like, people can't read long documents anymore.
They can't.
Like, so ever since the smartphone came out, it's now basically brainwashed people.
Where people can only do micro learning.
Where they are in.
Yeah.
They were saying in this, it was a TED talk that we had to watch. Yep. But they were saying that the average person right now, because of smartphones, can only read 12 lines of information and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And like, it was actually hurting my heart to like hear this.
Everyone should be alarmed by that and immediately go buy books and get your Bible out and prepare yourself to read long form.
Seriously. And he was saying on average, people, they pick up their phone to look at it 250 times a day.
Easy.
And he goes, and if you don't believe me, how many times did you want to pick up your phone just by listening to this TED Talk? And that right there blew my mind because
you had your phone in your hand?
Twice I almost went for it and stopped. And I'm like, ah, like I'm at work right now. Like, stop trying to go for your phone. But it's like crazy to think about that.
You know what's weird is I met a man today and I don't drink coffee, and because of what we're doing right now, it wouldn't be an option anyway. So he wanted to meet at this coffee shop. I went to the coffee shop, and I got there before him. I went in, and I bought two bottles of water, which cost me $6. And I actually ran into, like, two people I knew right away. And then,
which is not surprising. I'm surprised you didn't run into them before the water. Honestly.
I looked around, and every table was full. So I called him back and said, hey, why don't we meet at the bookstore next door? Because he had originally mentioned that as well. So we met there. I went up there, walked in, because they have a little cafe, and that place was a ghost town.
It was a BAM.
Yeah.
Well, because it's books.
But that's the crazy thing. It's like me
it's like
and
a
my
lost
buddies
art.
Used to go to the bookstore multiple times a week and read books and magazines and books on humor. And we'd sit and read them in there so that we didn't have to pay for them.
Yeah.
It's January 11th. I've read 5 books this year.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Actual books.
Yeah. Like, me and Joe are actually thinking about doing a thing with our kids that Joe watched a video of a guy where he was like, in order for my kids to get something, they have to read a certain number of books in order to
get
that.
They have to read 20 pages a day.
Once they turn six.
Once they turn six.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank God for people like that.
And then if they want like the newest PlayStation, you need to read a book.
Yeah. So
who's going to do the 14-hour, 20-hour surgeries in the future?
Serious.
Yeah, and it's not like books on tape that these kids are reading.
Right. I will say you do get the same cognitive benefit, bless you, Jasmine, from audiobooks as you do from actually reading. But it's alarming. Watch, if you ever go to a movie, watch, because people can't get through a movie
without touching their phone.
Yes.
Seriously.
A lot of people, they've developed a habit where they put on like a comfort show and they scroll on their phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Carlos is a phone scroller. I'm not calling him out in a negative way, but
he puts his phone down.
He literally, he put his phone down immediately when I said it, but it's true. Like it's to the point where companies and like institutions are resorting to micro learning.
Yeah.
And they're embedding like things that they need people to know. It has to be no longer than a tweet.
Yeah.
And it has to be in something they're already looking at.
Yeah. So at work, everything is the way that we write.
Yeah.
Is literally changing to where it's just these tiny snippets of information.
And it has nothing to do with literacy. It has to do with attention span and constantly seeking dopamine.
Seriously. Yeah. It is. It's an addiction.
I've probably seen the same TED Talk.
It's like straight up a hit.
Literally.
Like it's literally a hit that you get. There was this one girl on the phone that she was like, read this book. I think it was called like Breaking Up With Your Phone or something.
Yes. It's on my TBR.
She said it's amazing.
Yes. I think everybody, like I literally have it on my list to read this year. My goal is 50 books this year.
Wow.
And I'm ahead of schedule, but it's on. Carlos,
what is your goal, Joe?
Shaking his head.
My goal for the year? Oh man. So Max and I have been talking about this a lot. So we have different classes of goals. Mm-hmm. So we've been coming up with business goals together and then personal goals. So there's a lot on the table.
Yeah.
Max has like fitness goals outlined. Yeah. He has intellectual goals, stuff like that. Yeah, that's my goal, but I brought that up for a reason.
The 50 books.
Oh. So dopamine.
Yeah.
And we may have mentioned this on a past episode, but who knows, because we have like a million episodes now. Go listen to all of them. But when you wake up in the morning, if you immediately grab for your phone, your brain is trainable. And it's probably the easiest thing to train ever. That's how you know how to eat with a spoon or walk.
Yeah.
And you can learn new things.
Or talk. Yeah.
Even now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the first thing you do to give your brain dopamine in the morning, it will seek that thing all day. That's why people pick up their phone. So if the first thing you do in the morning is exercise, and that's where you get your dopamine, you will, by the end of the day, have a craving to exercise again.
Interesting.
And you will have a craving to exercise the next day.
Yeah.
If you immediately pick up your phone and get your hit from Facebook or Instagram, throughout the day when you're in a dip, you're going to automatically, your brain is going to seek it out and it's going to reach for it. That's neuroscience. That's verifiable fact.
Yeah.
There are many studies on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to read this thing about worth quick. So we were talking about worth a little bit ago.
Yes.
And I actually heard this last week and it like just struck a chord with me and it was so good and I want to read it. So it says, a father before he died said to his son, this is the watch your grandfather gave me and this is more than 200 years old. Before I give it to you, go to the watch shop on the first street and tell him you want to sell it and ask how much they will offer. So the son went, and after several minutes, he came back to his father and said the watchmaker offers to pay $5 because it's old and it has a lot of scratches. So then his father said, go to the coffee shop. So the son went, and after an hour, he came back and said the coffee shop owner offered $5, father. And his father said, now go to the museum and show him that watch. He went ahead and came back happy. They offered him $1 million for that watch. And the father said, I wanted to let you know that the right place values your value in the right way. Don't put yourself in the wrong place and get angry if you get treated like trash. Those who know your value are the ones who appreciate you. Don't ever stay in a place that doesn't suit you. Know your worth. And like with the worth issues that like I've definitely obviously been getting squeezed out during this particular fast, it's good to hear that, because you may not think that you're valuable at a particular spot, but maybe you're in the wrong spot.
Well, God thought you were worth dying for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally, like he took the rap for you.
Absolutely. It's good.
Yeah, you don't want to be the, we want to make our flesh submit, but we don't want to punish it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be abusive to it. We want to make our soul submit to the spirit, but we don't want to abuse it.
Yeah.
Because God said, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers.
Yeah.
Because if he gets a hold of your soul, your intellect, your personality, and uses it for his kingdom, and you allows you to be a part of that, then that thing is worth more than precious silver and gold. So if we understand that that God wants all these things and he's given them to you, and he wants you to to offer them back as a living sacrifice, and then he'll give it back to you with anointing on it.
Yeah.
There's a richness in life with God that you don't have if you don't walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he enriches all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see firsthand how he uses your giftings and how he's called you and puts you in this position or puts you in this conversation or in contact with this person.
Yeah.
I just talked to a guy today that he met me, I think, 13 years ago. Mm. I gave him my phone number. And
he just now called?
Well, we were talking because he said, man, it's so crazy that when I tried to search you out, he said, I still had your phone number from like 13 years ago.
Hmm.
And I said, and I have yours. And he goes, that's a God thing. That like through all the new phones that we've went through in 13 years and stuff, that we've kept that contact for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
God just put us together for such a time as this. He's created you for such a time as this. So don't despise small beginnings is what scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really see what others are doing and those around us are gifted in, or maybe they're having experiences we haven't had, but there's a good chance that those experiences would be a stumbling block for where God really wants mm-hmm. to take you.
Yeah.
If they're having falling down, shaking experiences in the presence of God at the altar, sometimes God doesn't give you that same experience because what he needs you for is to be the one that he gets that power through. And if you're always seeking that experience, you'll never be the one standing in front of the crowd,
mm.
you know, and vice versa. So
it's good.
Be encouraged. Jesus loves you.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at THE Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.